about God not withholding from us. We began in this study looking at the fact that Abraham did not withhold his son from God. When Abraham offered his son on the altar as God had commanded him to do, the angel of the Lord stopped him and he said, "Do not lay a hand on the boy. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." And then we talked about the fact that John the Baptist, as he looked at Jesus coming towards him, said, "Behold, the sacrificial lamb of God's providing." In the same wording that Abraham used to tell his son that God would provide the lamb for the sacrifice, God indeed provide his son as the lamb for the sacrifice. And he did not withhold him from us. So in this, we're looking at various things that God does not withhold from us. And so this morning, as I mentioned a moment ago, we're going to be talking about grace. Now, the Bible has a lot of things to say about grace, and the interesting thing about it is that grace comes in a lot of different ways, or a lot of, let's use the word, applications, if you'll allow me to use that. In other words, there's a lot of ways that grace, God's grace, is applied or given in our lives for a lot of different purposes. This morning in this study, we're going to talk about two primary areas of God's grace that he gives to us for specific reasons. The first one we're going to talk about is what we mostly think of when we think of grace, and that has to do with God's saving grace. So let's talk about what grace is just overall, all right? What is grace, someone said? What is a definition? What's the idea of grace to begin with? Well, grace basically is this. It is an undeserved, it is unmerited, it is unearned favor. Okay? Notice the emphasis on there. In other words, it basically is an undeserved gift. It is not something that anybody can work for. It is not something that is possible for it to be owed to someone because of something they did. It is completely and totally undeserved, a gift from God. Right? Another way to look at grace is this: God's riches at Christ's expense. In other words, Jesus paid the debt that you and I owe. And the reason that he did that is not because you and I are good. In fact, the reason he had to do it is because you and I are not good. And we couldn't do enough to have God owe us that gift. I like this contrast here. Karma. Somebody came up with this, said karma, with karma, you get what you deserve. Okay? That's basically what karma is all about, as I understand it. Christianity, though, Jesus got what you deserve. That's Amen. Grace.
Amen.
That's grace. I would a whole lot rather live under Christianity, under grace, than under karma any day. How about you?
Amen.
Okay? I don't want to get what I deserve. And I don't think you do either. That's really what this is all about. Because if we got what we deserve, we would all die. Let's talk about that particular aspect. If we live in a culture today that is constantly bombarding us with the idea that we deserve certain things. Okay? No matter what it is, you deserve it. And the basis or the premise of that is that you're such a good person, or you've done such good things, that you just simply deserve this. Alright? For instance, back in 1971, McDonald's Corporation came up with this particular slogan: "You deserve a break today." about this idea. You deserve to be happy. Let me ask you this question. How many of you believe that? You deserve to be happy. Anybody? Good. I'm glad nobody raised their hand. Because we really don't deserve to be happy. We want to be happy, don't we? But by what right, by what effort of our own, do we deserve to be happy? I mean, just think about that a moment. All of us want it, but do we deserve it? That's the real issue.
The real question. All right? Do something nice for you. Why? Because you deserve it. Okay? Do something nice for you. And that's a big focus of folks today. It's all about me. Say, I deserve this. Go ahead, relax. You deserve it. Okay? You deserve it. You see, the focus and the attention is all around that idea that you deserve this. And I'm afraid that too many Christians have bought into that cultural idea that we deserve all these good things and all this great stuff in our lives. We deserve it. And the reality is, no, we don't. No, we don't. Not when it really comes down to it. Is it nice to have that? Absolutely. But do we deserve it? No. We don't deserve any of those things any more than we deserve God's grace. See? How do we know that? Well, let's go to Ephesians chapter 2 for just a moment. And notice what Paul says about this whole idea of grace and whether or not we really deserve it. Okay? As for you, he says, look at this, you were dead in your transgressions and sin, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, that is, like the rest of the world, we were by nature, he says, objects of wrath. In other words, because of our sinfulness, we were objects of God's wrath. That's what we deserve, is God's wrath, his punishment because of our sin. We were dead, he says, in sin. We were children of wrath. If we got what we deserved, that's what we would get, is God's wrath. Certainly not his forgiveness. You go over to chapter to verse 12 and 13, he says, remember that at that time, he's talking about when you were in your sin, at that time you were, look at this, separate from Christ, excluded from the promise, without hope and without God in the world. That's the condition that all of us were in because of our sin. And it's the condition that everyone who has not yet given their life to Christ is still in. Separated from Christ, excluded from the promise, and without hope and without God in the world. That's where everyone outside of Christ still stands, objects of his wrath. He goes on then to say, but now. In other words, things have changed. Something has changed. This is the way things were, but now there's a different circumstance. In Christ Jesus, you who were once far away, look at this, have been brought near through the blood of Christ. You were separated, separated from Christ, separated from the promise of eternal life, without God, without hope, everything. But God, through the blood of His Son Jesus, has brought us near to Him. That's grace. Okay? Go back over to the earlier verses in chapter 2. But God, he says. There's that statement beforehand. You were dead in your sin and transgression. You were children of wrath. But God. Okay. Not, but you did this. But God. Let that part kind of sink in a little bit here. Because I think this is a part that we really, in a practical way, miss so often, because we focus so much attention on us and what we're doing and what we've done and what we're accomplishing and all of those things. This doesn't have anything to do with what we can or have done or will do or can do or anything else. It's all about Him. But God, okay, because of His great love for us. God, who is rich in mercy, look at what He did. He made us alive with Christ. God did that. Not you, not me, not anyone else. And by the way, not even anyone else who in Jesus' time died on a cross of crucifixion. And there were thousands upon thousands who died that way. But only God accomplished this. Okay? And He did that, He says, even when we were dead in our transgressions. So we have a God who gives us a gift unconditionally, because that's how He loves us. If you think about that, this gift of grace God gives to us on His terms, and His terms are simply that He loves you. I don't know about you, but when I give gifts to other people, I like to do it out of the generosity that I have within me, but it's usually people that I like, okay? Isn't that true with most of us? We give gifts to our family members. Some of them we give them because we have to, right? Okay, but we give gifts to people that we like. And generally the reason we like them is because they're nice and they're good to us and we're good to them and we have this relationship and we've kind of built this. How many of you have ever just walked out at Christmas time and gone out and just given a gift on the street to somebody you've never met in your life, never going to meet again, don't know them, don't know what kind of person they are or anything? How many of you ever done that? Anybody? Okay, Ursula has. She's the only one with a hand up, because that's just not normal. Okay? From the standpoint of what we're looking at, of saying usually we give gifts to people that we already have some kind of a relationship with, right? Amen. How many of you had a relationship with God before He gave you His grace? Anybody? Because it doesn't work that way. Work that way. God, in other words, doesn't say, look, you go get your life together, you stop sinning, you get your act together, then come to me and I'll think about giving you this present, this gift of grace. No, He doesn't do that. He gave it to us while we were dead in our transgressions, Paul says. Totally and completely undeserving. Dead. Yet He gave us the greatest gift of all. The blood of His Son, Jesus. It is by this grace, He says, that you have been saved. So this is God's saving grace, His gift of grace that He gives to us. Not because we're good, not because we deserve it, but because He is good. And because He loves us. And He pours out that gift upon us. And this understanding that should add more meaning to the text that we read as we began this morning. When Jesus there at the tomb of Lazarus, when he speaks to Lazarus' sisters, Martha and Mary, and he says to them, "I am the resurrection and the life." Why is that so significant? It's because of this. Lazarus was completely unable to raise himself up out of that grave. And you and I can't do it either. We cannot save ourselves. We are totally and completely dependent upon Him. That's grace. "I am the resurrection and the life," he said. In verses 6 and 7, Paul says this: God, look at what he did for us, raised us up with him. All right, this ought to make you really start to feel good about what he has done for you. He raised us up with him and seated us with him. Where did he seat us? In the heavenly realms, in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show his immeasurable riches of his grace. That's what God has done for you and for me. For everyone who will accept him into their life. That's grace. That God does not withhold from anyone. But we come to these two verses, 8 and 9. Paul says, "It is by grace that you have been saved." Plain and simple. Not anything that you and I can do to earn that. But he says that grace is through faith. What does that mean? Well, basically the idea of the faith is that what we are doing through our faith is putting ourselves in a position to receive the gift of grace that God has given to us. For without that faith, we are lost. So faith does not earn us the gift. It doesn't in any way give us the right to receive that gift. It simply puts us in a position to receive that gift. Because if we don't have faith, we're not going to receive the gift. Paul says it is through faith that we've been given that gift. And he goes on to make sure that we don't misunderstand this, that he says this is not of yourself. Not of ourselves. In other words, none of us, again, have earned it. None of us deserve it. None of us can do enough to require God to give it to us. Isn't that wonderful? Because that's what makes the gift what it really is. If He gave it to us because we earned it or deserved it, it wouldn't be much of a gift, would it? Okay? Instead, Paul says, it is a gift of God. And then, to make sure we understand the nature of that gift, look at what he says next. Not by works, so that no one can boast. All of us can boast in the Lord that we are saved, but not that we did it ourselves. None of us has the right or the place to be able to go, "Yeah, hey, man, God saved me because I'm such a great, great person. I did all the things I was supposed to do." Doesn't that kind of sound a little bit like the rich young ruler that encountered Jesus? "I kept all the rules. What else do I need to do?" It's not about the rules. See? Because you can't earn that gift. If you can earn it, it's no longer a gift. Okay, so saving grace, that's what it's all about. It is a total and complete gift that God gives to us. But what about other kinds of grace? We're going to talk about works by grace. Now, let's talk about what does that really mean? Because we need to understand, and we've talked about the fact that grace doesn't come by works. Okay, everybody understands that, right? Okay, but what about works by grace? In other words, God gives us work to do. Where does that work come from? Well, if we understand what Paul says in chapter 3 of Ephesians, it comes from God's grace. That's another way that God gives us grace. Not only saving grace, but He also gives us grace in the work that He gives us to do. Look at what Paul says in chapter 3, beginning in verse 7. He says, I became a servant of this gospel by, look at this word he uses, the gift of God's grace. I became a servant. That's work to do, isn't it? Okay? I became a servant by the gift of God's grace. So God has blessed me in giving me this work to do, and that is a gift from God. It's grace. All right? In verses 8 and 9, he goes on to say this, to me who am the least of all the saints, this grace was given. What is that grace? Well, he identifies it as this, that I should preach among the Gentiles. That's the work that God gave him to do. And Paul calls it grace. Okay? A gift from God. The work that He gave me to do, to preach unto the Gentiles. That is God's grace. God's gift, in this case, to Paul. You see, God's grace, I'm convinced through what the Bible teaches, is given to us in the ability He gives us to do His work. That's grace. I mean, think about it. Whoa, we went too far. Think about it this way. Does any of us deserve to do God's work? Anybody think you deserve to do it? Because again, you're just such a great person that you deserve to do God's work? No. No, we don't deserve. We deserve death. But God gives us grace, not just to save our souls, but to do His work. To accomplish the things that He has called us to do. Okay? Someone said it this way, your talent is God's gift to you. What you do with it is your gift back to God. Okay? But that talent is God's grace to you. And by the way, that's different for all of us. What He gives each one of us to do. But we need to know and understand that it is by His grace that you have been given that talent or that ability or that work to do. The undeserved gift, then, is the ability to do what He sends us to do. That is the gift of grace, just like what He had given to Paul. Dr. Ben Carson makes this statement. Every person is endowed with God-given abilities. That's grace. Okay? And we must cultivate every ounce of talent we have in order to maintain our pinnacle position in the world. The part that I want to emphasize on here is his recognition and acknowledgement that the talents that we have are God-given. They're not something that we can give ourselves. They come from Him. So here's a question for you to ponder on. What has God sent you to do? By His grace, what has He given you to do? What task, what job, what responsibility has He given you? In the place and the time that He has put you in His world. You will accomplish whatever God has given you to do not of yourself, but by God's grace. In other words, your ability to do what God has given you does not come from yourself. It comes from God. Why is it important for us to realize that? Because I think too many Christians today are making excuses as to why they can't do the things that God has told us to do because, well, you know, like Moses, I'm just not a very good speaker, so I can't talk in front of people, or I just don't, you know, I don't know the Bible well enough to actually sit down and study. Whose fault is that, by the way? Okay? And we make up all kinds of excuses as to why we can't do what God has told us to do. Stop making excuses and realize that if you'll just do what God has given you to do, He'll give you the ability to do it. That's His grace, you see. That's His grace. He is not going to send you to do something and not give you the ability to accomplish that. That's His grace. So, here's another question for you. Is God's work on your to-do list? Okay. God will not withhold His grace from you. Whether it is His saving grace or whether it is His grace to allow you to accomplish His work, He will not withhold that from you. But you, through faith, have got to put yourself in a position to receive His grace. Okay? And as we've said all along, as we've closed this study, no good thing does God withhold from those who walk uprightly. So the first step is, as we've said all along, check your walk. How are you walking these days? Okay. There may be somebody here this morning who is outside of Christ, who's not given your life to Christ yet. You need to understand, as we said earlier, that you have not yet received God's grace, although it is open and available to you. See? But until you receive that grace, accept it and receive it, you are separated from God in your sins. The great news is that you can change that right now, this morning. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life, then do that this morning. There's no reason to wait. No reason to wait whatsoever. Call upon Jesus as your Lord. Repent of the sin that's separating you from Him, that is keeping you dead. And have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. You can do that right now, this morning. If there's something else going on in your life, or maybe you haven't accepted God's grace of His gift and ability to do what He has sent you to do, maybe you're not doing what God wants you to be doing, you need to repent of that. Because what you're doing is rejecting a gift that God has given you. Whatever might be going on in your life, we want to help you with that. Okay? And before we stand together and sing, let me tell you something that the elders are wanting to do, a little bit different. Starting today, all four of us are going to be here to receive anyone who wants to come up. Dale and Ray are going to be in the back. For anyone that would like to go back there and have a prayer, private conversation with them, they'll be back here. Jerry and I will be up front to receive anyone. We want you, the sheep of this flock here, to know that we deeply care about whatever is going on in your life and whatever we might be able to do to help you and to serve you. Because that's what shepherds are supposed to be doing. And so each of us has some different talents and abilities in certain areas of life, and so we want to be able to use those to help whoever needs that help. Okay, for instance, Dale, he's very good in finances. And so, you know, maybe somebody's struggling, and we've done this, and somebody's struggling with finances or what have you, Dale has some great ability to help people with those kind of things. Jerry has a great mind and a great talent that God has given him for business sense. And so, you know, people we can allow, you know, Jerry can help with those kinds of things, somebody that needs things like that. Ray's just got a tremendous amount of wisdom, and I love him so much for that. Tremendous amount of wisdom and life experience that he can use, and he is a man who's deeply, deeply in love with God's Word. And I guess my specialty is in, you know, marriage and family counseling and those kinds of things. So we have a broad spectrum of those specialties, but overall, generally, I'm going to tell you about these other three guys here. They are men who are experienced. They have wisdom. They have Bible knowledge. They're experienced in their marriages. And so what we're doing is we're wanting you to know that we are here to do whatever it takes to help you with whatever you need. Okay? So just keep that in mind. We want you, if there's something going on in your life, and it doesn't have to be just here, anytime. You know. Call us, come to us, let us know what we can do to serve you. Right now, is anyone who would like to respond to the invitation? Tom has a song that he has picked out for us. We're going to stand together and sing that song. And you can either go back and see Dale or Ray, or you can come up here and see Jerry and I. Either one. Let's stand together and sing.